This is Inside MSide, your favorite podcast for all things Morningside. Hear stories from students, alumni, faculty, and more about what makes the Morningside experience so special.
Welcome to this episode of Inside MSide, and today our guest is Dr. Albert Mosley, the 13th president here at Morningside. And first of all, Dr. Mosley, how are you doing this morning? It's cold but nice out, so how are you doing?
I'm well, Bailey. I hope you are also. As you said, it's nice and crisp and cold outside. I guess par for the course here in Iowa this time of year. We had a couple of nice days earlier in the week, and now we're back down, and then we'll go back up. So I'm looking forward to that. But really good. I'm glad to be able to have this conversation with you as well.
So absolutely. And so our first question is just, let's talk and tell us a little bit about your first 9 months here at Morningside as the president.
Well, it's been a bit of a whirlwind, actually. We've had quite a lot going on. So I spent my first couple of months really sort of listening and learning. Meeting with our faculty, our staff, students, alums, community groups, and really taking the time to hear from people who've been here for quite some time themselves. And for me, sort of a core principle is to lead by listening. So that was important time for me to be able to just sit with people and hear their stories about Morningside, especially our alums, to hear stories of why they're passionate about this place and what Morningside has meant for them, what Morningside has done for them in their lives. And also beyond that, just hearing their hopes and their dreams for the future of Morningside, and so I spent first several months doing that, and sort of came back and tried to synthesize all of that into some sense of vision and direction for going forward.
And what have been some of your favorite experiences so far in those 9 months here?
Yeah, so it really is centered around the opportunities that I've had to engage with students. We have amazing students here at Morningside, very bright, very talented, very committed to Morningside and to the community. I think if I had to sort of pick probably the experience that has been the most fun for me is usually on Thursdays, the senior staff and I, we trek over to the CAF and eat, and it's always a joy to sit there among students and have a meal and occasionally catch up with some of them, hear what they're doing in their lives, hear about their, the successes they're having, what they're doing on the field or on the court, and what they're doing in their coursework and how they're serving in the community. They're the reason why we're here. And so when you have those opportunities and those occasions to engage with them in that way, it really does sort of, at least for me, it reinforces why we do what we do. We're preparing the next generation of leaders. And I don't know about the rest of the world, but I can say for this particular corner of the world, I feel like we're in really good shape. We've got some great young people here who I know are going to be phenomenal and awesome leaders in the future.
For sure. And you alluded to this, but, you spent a lot of time in your first 9 months listening and trying to, talk with a bunch of different groups to really hear, like you said, why they're passionate about Morningside. So, can you share with us some of the things that you heard in meetings with students, with faculty, with staff, with, the community, and some of the things that you heard and learned in that time?
Yeah. So one of the things that I think immediately rose to the top for me was this, what I sensed to be this kind of this overwhelming desire for continued innovation. So Morningside has a remarkable history of innovation. Our former president and leaders who've gone before have always sort of kept an eye towards the future, and have always always had us on the cutting edge. People are expressing that even more. They're saying, "Hey, what's next for us? What's the next big thing for us here at Morningside?" And so that desire and hunger for innovation, I've also sensed a really strong sort of eagerness to really just keep the momentum going. COVID obviously brought a halt to some things, and in a lot of places it's completely shut down innovation. In some places it actually spurred innovation, but in a lot of institutions of higher learning, it sort of put people at bay. Some of that happened here at Morningside a little bit just because of just the way COVID itself unfolded. And so from my conversations with faculty, for example, it's, you know, they're at the gate now. They're ready to be let out. They want to know, hey, what are the next sort of academic programs of distinction that we can unleash here at Morningside? And doing that, of course, in conjunction with conversations with community partners as well, with local industry and business leaders, hearing from them, hey, this is what we need for this moment in this time. And so, as I said, innovation, agility, an eagerness to see what's next, and to not just see it, but to engage it and to be a part of what's next. And that's exciting because, you know, there are a lot of things that we've been talking about here at Morningside that we want to actually undertake. And it's exciting to hear that there is broad community support for those initiatives.
And there have been some new initiatives and programs already put in place here. So let's talk about a few of those. First of all, tying into innovation, we're starting innovation Campus Innovation Hour. What can you share about Campus Innovation Hour and that topic, I guess?
Yeah. So the Campus Innovation Hour, early on, as I said, in these conversations, I sensed this, you know, these folks here are incredibly innovative. They have been so innovative. They've done so many things in the past. I think about even just sort of how we've morphed our nursing program here at Morningside. You know, we started as a traditional undergrad nursing program, then we morphed into the MSN space, Master of Science in Nursing, then we morphed into the Doctorate of Nursing practice, and we're continuing to morph now into some specialized areas of nursing care, like acute care, for example. You know, with Innovation Hour, I wanted to provide a forum for people to come together, and I specifically designed this so that it could be cross and interdisciplinary conversations with folks from different departments and divisions of the university, and for people to just dream about tomorrow. Hey, what can we do to continue to meet the challenges of today and tomorrow? And what was amazing, Bailey, is that, you know, we'd have upwards of 75 to 80 people who would come together and just start, you know, engage in this process of ideation, you know, and we began with the concept that every idea is on the table, every idea is on the table. And then we went through this process of really vetting those ideas and trying to understand what need we're meeting for the community and whether or not we have the capacity to meet that need. And if we don't currently have the capacity to meet a need, how could we develop that capacity? So it was exciting. We've sort of concluded the process for the Innovation Hour. So the way it worked was we asked folks to submit proposals for new programs or new initiatives that they were interested in undertaking here at Morningside. And now the cabinet, I think we got about 10 proposals from throughout the campus. And so the cabinet's reviewing those proposals. And as part of the celebration, as part of the inauguration, we'll make announcements about the proposals that'll be funded. And these are pilot initiatives. And that's how innovation works. I mean, innovation, you know, when you start implementing, it's always done as a pilot, and of course we do it in pilot form, so that if we need to make any adjustments or changes, we can do that without having already sort of invested fully into something. So I've glanced at proposals, not surprised at what I'm seeing. Again, it's representative of who Morningside is. Some really, really neat and innovative ideas. I don't want to say a lot about them because I don't want to give them away. But I have been very, very, very pleased with what I've seen. Folks have put their heads together, as I said, inter and cross-disciplinary groups from around campus. And And I think folks are going to be really excited when we make the announcement during the investiture service about the ones that will be awarded the innovation grants.
Awesome. And yeah. Last fall, two new programs were launched, one academically, one athletically, with aviation and women's wrestling. How are those going?
I think they're going really well. You know, women's wrestling was one of those that we, pardon the pun, we wrestled with. And so, you know, we Morningside has, we have a fairly substantial athletics program here at Morningside. And our students, we tend to attract students who are very engaged and active. So our students are not only great scholars and engage incredibly well in the classroom, but they're also, there's also that and for our students. There's always the and, whether it's arts, athletics, some sort of talent area. And so the way we really sort of got into women's wrestling is, you know, I heard, and then I looked it up and discovered it to be true, that the state champs for women's wrestling and for high school women's wrestling in Nebraska were in South Sioux City high school women's wrestling team. And so I thought, wow, the state champs are in our backyard. And I started reading all these articles about women's wrestling and how it's popping up around the country. And I thought, well, this is something we need to really explore and look into. And so we launched a program. We went through all of the processes we have to go through with NAIA, and we hired a coach. And the last report I saw, we're recruiting, it's really healthy recruiting that's happening with women's wrestling. I suspect we'll in the fall we'll probably have a decent number of young women who'll be a part of the team. On the aviation front, that's super exciting. We had a groundbreaking in the fall for the facility. I'll backtrack and say just a little bit about this. We were initially scheduled to do aviation in the fall of 24. Of course, we plans began prior to my arrival for Morningside to launch aviation, but the way the timeline was sort of laid out, we're going to not launch it, launch the program until the fall of 24. We decided to speed that up a bit and say, hey, let's do fall of 23. What's holding us back? What's preventing us from doing fall of 23? And there were a number of things that were preventing us from doing that, and we found a way to get around those. And so we've hired a certified flight instructor who's director of the aviation program. We had a groundbreaking back in the fall. The building is, there's a structure up now out at the airport. Our partner, Oracle Aviation, has been great with us, and as well as the city of Sioux City and the Sioux City Regional Airport. And so it's recruiting is underway for that program as well. I think and one of the things that we added to it that was not initially part of the plan was part of the plan is, in addition to pilot training, we added aviation management as well, because we have such a strong school of business here. We thought, why not tap into something that's already in place at Morningside? And another thing that sort of led us down the aviation management path, in addition to pilot training, is that through our research, we learned that for every pilot that sits in the cockpit, there are about 15 to 25 people behind the scenes who make that possible. And so not every potential student is going to be interested in being a pilot, or will even perhaps, be able to become a pilot, but there are so many other avenues and options available for them in aviation. And so we've got the pilot training aspect of it, and we also have the aviation management piece. But recruitment is going really well for that also. Of course, it always helps when you've got something to show people, you got a building to show, and it helps that we've hired our certified flight instructor. The CFI has, he's submitted our paperwork to the Federal Aviation Administration to ensure that we are, everything is fully approved, so that when our students arrive in fall, this fall, we'll be able to launch that program and from a place of strength. And so those are exciting programs. They really are. And I think those are the kinds of things that will further distinguish us as an institution. And again, each of those represents for Morningside a continuation of our history of being responsive to the needs of the community, being responsive to the needs of the market, and also being observant, observing what's happening. We looked around and we saw that, hey, women's wrestling is growing in Iowa, And since we announced our women's wrestling program, what do you know? Three other colleges and universities have now announced that they're going to have women's wrestling. So Morningside's leading the pack quite a bit. And even with this aviation, I suspect, hey, next year or so, there'll be a couple of other schools here that will launch aviation. Similar to when we launched Ag about 7 years ago, a lot of folks, I think, were probably questioned the wisdom of a small private school going up against the big state schools in agriculture. But we launched it, and our ag program is highly successful. And now one of our peers has launched an ag program as well. Another small private school here in Iowa has launched ag as well. So we're leading the way. So,
for sure. Yeah. And you've hired four new people to the executive team here. Talk about the impact that has on the future here at Morningside.
Yeah. Yeah. So we actually wasn't four that we hired. We added two new folks to the team, but there were positions that were already there. So one of them, the VP for advancement, that position had been vacant for a little bit over a year. So we hired Paul Erbs, who's a seasoned fundraising executive. And Paul has hit the ground running. We are in sort of the very early phases of conversations around some sort of comprehensive campaign for Morningside. Using Paul's experience and background as a fundraising executive, I know we'll probably have a lot more to say about that in the coming months. And one of the other folks we brought on board is a new chief information officer, Mark Lumsden. That position previously existed here as well, but it was not a cabinet level position. I elevated it to a cabinet level position largely because of our need to have a significant IT transformation here at Morningside. So Mark is a seasoned IT executive himself, having served at Buena Vista and Briarcliff and Florida Tech. So he's led institutions through these massive IT transformation projects previously. And I'll tell you, one of the exciting things about what's happening in the IT space here for us at Morningside, our Morningside family knows that we have a legacy system here that's fairly old. And in those early months of my listening and learning, I heard from almost every constituent group here in the life of our university that we needed to address our IT. We needed to address our student information system, our sort of enterprise resource planning system, ERP system. We needed to address those things here at Morningside. And Mark has pulled together an IT task force. I actually spent some time a couple of days ago visiting with the IT task force. They were off-site for a meeting, and there were about 27 people there from across the university. And it was amazing to just hear the energy in that room. And they were going through this concept of process mapping, where each department or division was sort of sharing the processes that they use to ensure that the needs of our students and alums and others are met. But what was even more amazing to me was how much overlap there was in the different processes, and then how many different sort of offshoot programs that we are using at Morningside. And so part of the purpose of this IT task force is to find a comprehensive student information system, or even a comprehensive enterprise resource planning system, that will meet the needs of Morningside University from the point of prospect. So when a student is a junior or senior in high school, all the way to alum. So recruiting, admitting them during their years of study through our student information system and all those types of things, and then even beyond their time as a student here. So there are programs out there that do that, and so I'm excited that we're gonna eventually get to that place where we can have everything sort of in one shop, and it will make life all the more convenient for our students, for our faculty, our staff, our alums, everyone.
Yeah. And building off those new initiatives that we just spoke about, what is your vision for Morningside, both in the near and long term?
Yeah, so sort of near term, I think I've expressed a few of those already. There are three sort of, I call them big buckets that I'm really focused on at the moment. IT transformation, that's a near term goal that has, I think, long term has long-term benefits for the institution. So the IT transformation is one. The other I alluded to is some sort of comprehensive campaign that we'll engage in. Our campus is gorgeous. We've got a beautiful campus. There are quite a number of needs we have in terms of capital improvements that need to be done here. We also, like every institution, we could do more around scholarships for our students. This comprehensive campaign will embody several initiatives, not just capital and buildings, but also funding scholarships for our students, ensuring that every student who desires to come to Morningside, regardless of their need, that they are able to benefit from the transformative experiences they get here at Morningside. So that will, you know, that'll be a significant piece of that campaign. And then a third sort of short-term goal or initiative that I think has really long-term effect and impact is our strategic planning process. So we are currently in the middle of a strategic planning process. We're taking a little bit of a different approach. So instead of your typical 5 to 10 year strategic plan, we are we're partnering with Credo Consulting. Credo is a higher ed consulting firm that focuses on strategic planning and campus master planning. So Credo is launching what they're calling a rapid strategy pilot. And so there are about 6 or 7 colleges and universities who are part of this pilot pilot with Credo. So in this rapid strategy planning process, we are going to do in about 5 to 6 months what normally takes 2 years to do in a traditional strategic planning process. And I want to emphasize, we're moving at a much quicker pace, but we're not abandoning those treasured pieces of strategy, including listening to your constituents, listening to your stakeholders. So this rapid strategy plan that we're gonna have, I mean, it's gonna focus on some immediate things that we can do here at Morningside, some immediate wins that we can do, but it'll also provide us with the necessary sort of insight and tools about how to be more nimble, how to be more agile, and how to change course more quickly. Higher ed, you know, we have a history of engaging in, I think, very worthwhile and deliberate discernment processes. And so that's the whole notion of shared governance. I mean, you hear from everyone and you get everyone's insight into whatever action you're taking. And we're not going to abandon that at all. We're going to do that, but do it a little bit quicker than what we've done it in the past. And so as a part of this rapid strategy planning process, we've got next week, and we're going to have what we call a data and strategy summit on campus. And a week or two after that, we're going to have these listening sessions with all of our stakeholder groups. And we're going to hear people's thoughts even further than what I've done already myself. We're going to hear people's thoughts around what they see as the best course of action for Morningside for the future. And then we're going to bring all that together, and we're going to come up with this rapid strategy plan and begin implementing that plan in the fall, begin implementing the different aspects of that plan in the fall. I have some sense of what those things might revolve around, probably obviously enrollment, probably around development of new academic programs that meet market needs and those types of things. But you know, we're going to continue to wait and hear what others have to say as well.
How do some of these kind of short-term plans and goals lead into, you know, the long-term vision that you have, and yeah, kind of elaborating more on that long-term vision?
Yeah. And so Bailey, in terms of long-term vision, I've had a little bit of a change of thought about that whole concept. Mm-hmm. Since we've gotten into this rapid strategy planning process, I feel like I am now at a place where your long-term vision should be your long-term vision should entail you constantly creating shorter-term visions for an institution, or for the place, you know, the place where you're serving. I reflect back upon my experience in healthcare as a part of a large healthcare system, as an executive in that system. And it was interesting how that system, you know, they never looked 10 years down the road because the market changed so rapidly. So at best, they looked 1-2 years down the road. And while they're looking and planning and executing strategy during that 1-2 year period, they're then starting to look at the next year or two. And so I think for higher ed, I think that's going to be probably the new approach for higher ed in terms of strategy and setting long-term vision. I don't know that any of us are in a place, unless you are one of the, you know, one of the large elite universities with a very healthy, strong endowment. I think all of us are going to find ourselves in a place where long-term vision is going to involve us setting short-term vision more regularly. That's what it's going to be about, because the environment is changing so rapidly around us. If we lock ourselves, I mean, the only long-term vision that I would say is growth and vitality. And so whatever leads to growth and vitality, you know, and that will involve us refreshing whatever we do every year or two. And instead of sort of, I think historically, especially prior to COVID, a lot of institutions found themselves locked into, you know, these 10-year plans that did not afford them a lot of agility and did not afford them many opportunities to pivot when they needed to pivot. I want to have the ability to pivot when we need to pivot. And so when I think about the Morningside of the future, so 10 years out, when I think about Morningside 10 years out, I think about a place that has a healthy, stable enrollment, a place that is physically sound, a place that, you know, the campus is welcoming to everyone who desires to come here, and it's affordable for people, you know? And so what does it take to get us there? What are the baby steps, those short steps? What are the rapid strategies that it will take to get us to that place? That's kind of my approach now to this concept of long-term vision. It's several or many, many visions.
Shifting gears a little bit, what are some of the biggest challenges that you faced so far in your 9 months here at Morningside?
Yeah, that's a good question, Bailey. And I don't know that I've been getting that question from a lot of people, actually. I don't know that I have met any sort of unexpected challenges. What we would label as challenges here at Morningside are fairly standard across the board for most private liberal arts institutions. And I would even venture to say not just private institutions, those challenges are being faced by institutions throughout the sector. So even publics and perhaps some of your larger, as I said, larger elite institutions are probably not dealing with the same set of challenges that we are. So nothing especially surprising to me. Of course, your response to those challenges varies from setting to setting. And so one pleasant surprise for me here is how responsive people have been to whatever ideas that I tend to advance or that we advance as a team. People have been very open and receptive to that. And I'm not sure why I expected them not to be. I think because of, you know, my previous experience in higher ed before I did the healthcare leadership piece. Sometimes in higher ed, there is a tendency to not be as responsive to change and to innovation. But here at Morningside, I think we've sort of broken the mold, and we do it a little bit differently here.
For sure. Yeah. And we've talked about, you know, the strength of the ag program, and I mean, even over the last year, a lot of growth there. School of Business is doing mm-hmm. very well. I mean, you mentioned nursing. A lot of the programs on campus have had a lot of success in the last year plus. What are some ways in which you hope to continue to see that growth within academic departments across campus? Yeah.
So, you know, one of the untapped areas for us here at Morningside and in this market, I would venture to say, is non-credit bearing certificate credentialing, micro badging. There are all kinds of terms that are used for it now. Our School of Business, for example, you reference them. One of our professors in the School of Business offered early in this semester a non-credit bearing certificate program in digital marketing for small business owners. And it was done pro bono for small business owners here in the Siouxland area. And it was really, again, one of those pilots for us. We wanted to test this to see how people would respond to it. That class filled up within the first week of putting it out there. People said, yes, we want to do this. And so as a result of that, we've now come back and we're saying to ourselves, what else could we potentially offer to the community that's non-credit bearing, that's designed for folks who may not be interested in pursuing a full college educational experience, but who do want the ability to be reskilled or upskilled or credentialed in a specific area. So we're beginning to branch out into that now. And so, for example, later this month, we are doing a certificate program in partnership with the Siouxland Society of Human Resource Management. So this will be about a 4 to 6 week program for human resources professionals to be able to get their, SHRM certificate. We've been in conversations with a number of corporate entities here in the market, Seaboard Triumph being one of them, and many others, about what are the needs of your employees? How can we meet the needs of your employees? So venturing into the non-traditional student market a bit, and doing it in a way that offers opportunities for people to have short-term credentials that actually can lead to advancement for them in their workplace. So that's one of the things that's happening and through the School of Business and sort of with some of our other schools here on campus as well. Another thing that I'll mention, our faculty later this month will consider a proposal from our curriculum and policy committee here on campus. And this proposal is for the introduction of several new academic programs. I'll go ahead and put them out there. One of those is cybersecurity. The other is supply chain management, and the other is public health. And so the reason for us introducing these three new academic programs is that, again, we've done the market analysis. We've looked at what the needs are in this particular market. Cybersecurity is, I mean, gosh, that's a need everywhere, but especially here in our market. And we've got a strong partner here in the region, Sterling Computers. One of our alums is the president of Sterling, and we've got about 30 or 40 alums who work there. So Sterling Computers, which has, I think, one of the largest government contracts in the nation, Sterling is a perfect example of a corporation here in this market that we've been in conversation with, and we're hearing from them. Cybersecurity is a major, major issue. Not enough people are being churned out from institutions of higher learning to do this work. So, what can you do to help us? Well, we're going to offer a program in cybersecurity, supply chain management. I don't need to say any more about that. That's been everybody's excuse for everything for the past couple of years is supply chain. I can't get it. And so we'll be one of the few places in this market that offers an undergraduate degree in supply chain management. And of course, public health. I mean, there's always a need for anything related to healthcare, and especially public health. And so those are three new programs that our faculty will approve at their April faculty meeting. We'll roll those out. Those will be ready to launch in the fall. And I think it'll be exciting. And again, those came about from us just having our ears to the ground, listening to what our partners in the community are saying to us, and being cognizant also of just trends more broadly as well. Supply chain management, cybersecurity, public health, those are disciplines and fields that are growing around the country.
And you've made a point on wanting to work on building relationships, and you've alluded to some of those, you know, both on campus and in the community. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the projects and opportunities that you've had to work on those relationships that you want to build?
Yeah. And so I have been welcomed so in such an amazing way here in the Siouxland area. And one of our former board members, John Gleason, who is a business leader here in this community, incredibly generous with his time and with his connections. John Gleason has set up a series of lunches between me and leading folks here in the Siouxland community. And those have been amazing occasions for me to sit, and these are small groups of about 4 to 5 people each time we've met. They've been amazing occasions for me to sit with the folks and to really hear from them directly. What are you seeing? What are you hearing from your employees? What are the needs you believe in this market? And so these new programs that we're rolling out that I mentioned, the certificate programs and those 3 new academic programs, those came about as a result of those small gatherings with these folks, listening to them. I found many opportunities also to just sort of on the soft side to engage with the community. It's almost impossible to go anywhere in the Siouxland area without running into a Morningside alum. And so for me, that's whether that's church or the supermarket or out to dinner, wherever I am, I run into people who have some very strong and dear connection to Morningside University. And so and even in those instances, it's provided me with opportunities to hear from people. You know, every time I meet a person, especially if they're an alum, they'll share a story with me about what they believe makes this place great. And they'll also share a story about, you know, hey, maybe we could do this in the future. Or maybe we could do that. And so, you have those kind of organic opportunities when you're just out and about and you run into folks and you hear a little nugget of wisdom and you have to hold on to it and bring it back and say, hey, what can we do to bring this about?
My last question for you here this afternoon, or I guess this morning still, is what excites you the most about the short and long-term future here at Morningside?
Well, I get excited about a lot of stuff when I think about Morningside. I am especially excited about some of the new, as I mentioned, some of the newer initiatives we're bringing. One of those that we didn't talk about was, we got to get a different name for it, but we initially called it the 3 Towns Initiative, and it's an initiative designed to really avail the sort of transformative power of a Morningside education to a broader population of people, especially first-generation underrepresented students. And so so far this year, we've focused that on the Latino-Latina community here in the Siouxland area, which is a growing population here. And we're beginning to expand it now to include students whose families have immigrated from countries abroad, especially in North and Eastern Africa, because there's a growing community of people from that part of the world here in the Siouxland area as well. So I get excited about that. I get excited thinking about, you know, just all the things that Morningside can do, especially for communities that have been underrepresented here on our campus, and how we can avail the transformative power of a Morningside experience to a broader community of people, and how that will enrich the experience of our students as well, who are here on campus. I get excited thinking about, you know, what's going to happen with our ag program, with our aviation program, with nursing, with you name it. There's just so much happening here. And all those things, as I said, are sort of, you know, those are kind of short-term early wins that then lead to that much larger transformation of this of Morningside, that leads to that much larger opportunity for growth for us and for us to be physically sound and solid and all those types of things. So I think, in a nutshell, Bailey, I would say our future is bright. Our future is extremely bright. And that's the result of having great people as a part of this community, people who love Morningside dearly, and people who are not afraid to try new and different things. And so that excites me. I find myself thinking, man, I wish I could, you know, fast forward the clock to like 5 years and see where we are and what we're doing, but we'll live through it. You know, don't have to rush ourselves there. We'll live through it. But I suspect if we were to fast forward the clock to 5 years, what we would see is a very vibrant campus community. And we'd see all kinds of new academic programs and Morningside being even more responsive to the needs of industry here in the Siouxland area. And so, yeah, lots of great things.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. And that'll do it for today's episode of Inside M Side. I'd like to thank Dr. Mosley for joining me here, and thanks to everyone for listening and following along.